Well, good afternoon. Warm afternoon that it is, but it's okay. It's no problem. It's no problem to worship the Lord together in the warmth. And thank you, Brother Jeff, once again for that wonderful lesson for the children and for all of us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 21, verse 5. I'd like to just take a little inspiration from the book about families. That's what we're talking about. That's concluding message, family life that builds missions. And I have to just tell you that I'm not some authority on this subject. I don't feel like we have lived the life of raising up a family that is just involved in missions and a whole bunch of different things. I don't have that kind of a story to tell. But, so I'm learning together with you all. We're thinking about our own, you know, family vision, if you will, and how are we doing, and are we doing enough? We ask all those questions that probably you ask as well as you look at your own family life. But here again, I use this passage this morning, but I'd like to just revisit 21 verse 5, and when they had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. I like this picture again. This morning we talked about how we see families and their engagement in church life, if you will. Well, here we see families and children, parents, dads and mothers and children involved in the work of the church. They were blessing, they were praying their apostle, their leader, on his way. And Paul was going from city to city and establishing the churches and encouraging the brethren. And they had just received it. They had just received 7 days of this. And so here they were saying, we want to at least be part of this as far as we can. Right to the shore, you know, right before he boarded the boat. And they kneeled down there and they prayed. And that's a beautiful picture of the different ways in which we can be involved in missions. We have been involved in the work in Bangladesh as a congregation, personally, as a family, as a person myself for years. And, you know, we all have different roles. One of the roles that we have is to stay at home and just do all the myriad of things that has to happen from home. And do we send them? We do some training. We do some praying. You know, we do some teaching. And so we have different ways in which we engage. And that's okay. That's perfectly normal. And here we see these families engaging as they could. The same foundations we looked at in our first message, and a lot of the same qualities needed to build churches are needed in this lesson or in this message today, building missions. It's not something new. It's not a whole lot of separate things. There's maybe some specifics, but many of those same qualities are needed. We need to have the families that families the way God had the after the pattern that He's given us. We need to have families who are engaged in church life and they're involved in things right at home. And that's mission. Let's keep that straight. Well, what is mission? Well, mission is, it can be, Webster's sort of gave me two, a ministry commissioned by a religious organization to propagate its faith or carry on humanitarian work. Oscar talked to me about some of the ways in which he likes to serve the poor. It's a mission, you know? And the other definition I have is a calling or vocation. You know, one of the central callings we have as fathers is to serve our family, to make sure that we're reaching around there, those kinds of things. That's important as well. But it seems for a family to have vision to build missions, it must have a proper perspective of God and His plan for humanity. And I want to just take us on a little bit of a journey there, first of all. I want to think about what's God's mission? What's God's purposes for humanity? And I just love those words in Luke 4. So let's turn to Luke 4. I want to read a few verses there and be inspired by the heart of Christ as he got back to Nazareth. And he had, we'll read these verses here, starting at verse 14 in Luke chapter 4. And let's read a few verses. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so here we see Jesus bringing the attention of this synagogue to these prophetic verses in Isaiah. And there was something about his reading of those verses that when he sat down, the whole congregation sat there and they looked at this man who they knew as a boy and as a child. And then Jesus said, "Yeah, this day is fulfilled." And they sat still for a little longer until he began to tell them. He began to challenge them and who they were, and they finally rose up right there to stone him, to thrust him out of the city. They were filled with wrath, and they were going to cast him headlong down over the brow of the hill, it says, and Jesus departed. Jesus here, as I mentioned, was pointing back to the prophecy of Isaiah and was teaching that it has arrived. Notice the prophecy shows God's response to a great need. Good news. Wonderful news to the poor. Healing for the brokenhearted. Deliverance to those who were caught. You know, if you're free, you don't need delivered, right? But we were talking about captivity, bondage to strongholds, bondage to the typical challenges of humanity. And so I'm going to just to sort of keep us moving along, to keep our attention. I'll just bounce quickly through a few other things. If you go back into Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. There, God is promising Abraham, what it was that he was going to do with him. And he so told Abraham that in the ways that I'm going to bless you, all families of the earth are going to be blessed by your posterity, by this covenant. And here we see Jesus picking this up. And he's challenging the Jewish people. He's saying, "I am coming to bring all that we read there in chapter 4. And so we see Jesus picking this up. This great mission of God. This blessing he was going to bring to all people. And you know what, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, this gospel, this mission of God made it to this street corner. It made it to you and to me. You know, some of us who have been blessed to be raised up in a Christian culture, Christian homes, we say, it's so easier for us to lose sight of. We sort of begin to think that the gospel sort of is right here and it sort of all goes out from there. And wonderful. We're talking about missions. We're talking about taking it out. But we must remember that, first of all, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this mission of God made it all the way to us. You know? It helps our perspective to think about how God has somehow, through his power, through his Spirit, brought this message, this opportunity to you and to me, and we have been able to receive it. So it's very important that we have these kinds of perspectives. because I believe it makes a big difference about how we carry that message forward. It shapes how we think. It shapes how we view other people. It shapes how we view ourselves before God. And all of those things are so essential. You know, there it was. God made that promise in Genesis chapter 12. And then he moved on through time. And I just love, I don't know what how you, but don't you just love the story of Rahab? That was just a moment where God said, right here. And it was God sending a message that his kingdom, his mission, is one that extends to all people. And there's Ruth, another interesting development of God. Proclamation of his mission and what his plans were to be. And so we come back to Jesus' ministry. There he was. He walked with the poor. He spent time in Galilee. It's a place of mixed people. He walked on through Samaria and he stopped there by the well. There came the woman with all the hurts in the world. Five husbands, and the one she has now is not her husband. Oh, we're not talking about New York City. We were talking about Samaria thousands of years ago. That's who Jesus came to minister to. That's the message that he still brings today. And we cannot forget it. There's a couple of sisters, different sisters from our congregation are having weekly Bible studies with two different ladies there in the city of Altoona. And one in particular has many needs, but one in particular has some real similarities to this lady there at the well of Samaria. And Jesus came to bring healing yet today. That's his mission. It hasn't changed. He's made it clear. Well, the story continues and we know how it ends. Jesus laid down his life. His blood was shed for the sins of all mankind, and whosoever will may come and receive it. That proclamation of God stands today. Most important, it's all of us must understand, as we think about missions, all of us must understand our own great need and the high price that was paid for me. We cannot forget that. We cannot skip by that. And again, some of us were raised in very strong Christian homes that taught us right and wrong and punished us when we did wrong and kept our consciences clear. And one day we had an understanding that we do need Jesus as our personal Savior, and we made that choice and we moved on in structured, disciplined home and church life, and we've had our sins, no doubt, but it's pretty easy for us to lose sight of the great price that was paid for whatever those sins were. There's others of us who knew what it was like to explore the depth of sin pretty significantly. And we do well to remember and understand again and again. Because it's easy for us after we've moved into faith, after we've moved into relationship with Christ, after we've turned our back on those sins, 10 years down the road, to sort of have forgotten. To sort of have forgotten that price that was paid. And I say this afternoon that this is just a reminder, because I believe that our interest, our willingness to enter into the discipline of mission and the price of mission, the price of discipleship, is directly connected to our own understanding of who we are in the sight of God, our own great need, and how we perceive others. When we recognize that the man walking on this street has struggled with and fallen into and made choices that are very similar to my own. Oh, sure, there may be some differences. And so we claim those verses of Ephesians 2, verses 8 9 and 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. We are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. Jesus spent a lot of time showing the religious elite of his day what he desired. What God desired, what Jesus desired to see, was humbled hearts and true repentance. That's what Jesus desired. That's what John came to preach. That voice crying in the wilderness. He came to preach repentance. And that is God's mission. Works, and also Jesus was looking for works that showed hearts had been changed. Jesus was looking for servants instead of rulers. Well, this afternoon, nothing, as I mentioned a time or two already, fosters mission, vision in our hearts like understanding our own great salvation. Great because of our need, great because of how it changes us, great because of what comes out of us. Love, praise, and obedience, and a servant's heart. And I tell you, just because of who we are in the flesh, it's just not easy to be a servant. We want to be served. We would like good food to be served. We would like to have our space. We'd like it to be cool right now. You know? We just don't like the uncomfortable. That's very typical of who we are. Paul, I believe he wrote Romans. He knew something about service. And I think by his own life and by the inspiration of God, he penned Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I can stand up here and I can recite those two verses. But you know where the challenge is, right? It's in the living it. It's in the living it. And so it is a challenge. Families that will build missions. So I have some practical points. And so with what I've shared so far as a foundation for us, how can we build missions with our families? Number one, marry well. We're talking about families here. We're talking about how can our family, which again, husband, wife, children, that's what we're thinking about as families today. And as I was pondering that, it seemed to me that if I wish to engage my family, if that's my heart right now as a man, I have my weaknesses in this area. But if that's our heart, young man, there isn't too many youth here, but there's some boys and girls here that aren't far away from it. As you think about it, it matters who you partner with. And so make choices. Marry. In marriage, two becomes one. And while all of us grow individually, and just because you've married someone who doesn't want to get out of her comfort zone very much, and her parents didn't get out of their comfort zone very much, and they sort of like things pretty cushy and nice, that doesn't mean that together the two of you can grow beyond that. But think about it. I want to bless you families that are here in this city. And look, the fact of the matter is, wherever there is population, I've had the opportunity to spend time in a very populated city, the most populated city, over 2.5 million, the most populated city in the world, and that's Dhaka, Bangladesh. There is some cities that have higher densities under the 2 million mark. But over the 2 million mark, in a city of 20 to 24 million people, and what happens is you lose, there's similarities here. I just was reminded of them. You lose a lot of personal space. Real estate's so valuable. Every building has multiple uses. This building is another proof of that. How many services? How many different uses? It's very normal. You're doing the right thing here. But it changes things because you're moving your stuff around. I just saw him move this little sound system up here. It's okay. But that's what you have to do. I probably wouldn't need it. I just talk a little louder. But you know, so those are the kind of things that you begin to give up. So I want to bless you all for it. It's not a big deal. You can make it a really big deal. But it is a change. It is something in comparison to 2 hours west of here where the real estate numbers are like this, you know, significantly. You'd do some different things, probably. And so we're used to that, many of us here in this call. And so I say to you that you all are giving some things up, but it's okay. But it is a price. There's a price being paid, and not everyone is willing to pay that price. Now, they may pay it in some other place, because we have different areas that we serve in. I understand that. So we're called to different places. It means we're called in different ways. But I want to bless you all for that. Think about it, young people. Your marriage partner will have a great influence in your home, and rightly so. And usually that's a positive thing. But if the one that you're thinking about marrying is pretty consumed with, you know, what's the greatest, what's the best, what's cool, you know, those kind of things are going to make it difficult for you all to really enter into service, because you have to overcome those things. But you can. It can be done. But think about it. Or do you see someone who holds the things of this world in perspective? Sure, we need to have clothes. But we're willing to give up some of those things. Sure, we need to have a vehicle, but yeah, it can be 15 years old, have some paint peeling off of it. That's okay. Do you see someone who's willing to give up herself or himself in service and care for the needs of others? Those are qualities that matter when you think about families that build missions. Number two, have a vision as a couple. I was talking with one of the young brothers here, and he was talking about, you know, ideals and vision. Wonderful. You need to have it. We need to have those things. We need to be intentional about what you're going to do with your family. The realities come pressed in hard, and that sort of moderate some of those ideals sometimes, because you've got so many pressures pushing on you, you can't even remember what all you hope to do, right? Because of what you have to do, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. But, you know, I think we do need to have a vision as a couple. And it's just, you know, I say these things because I think about how far short I came. And yet we did have, I guess, our own version of a vision of things. And so that's the way it is for all of us. But just be thinking about having a vision. Be intentional about what you want to do with your family. Weave into your family life opportunities of mission and outreach. Talk about world situations. I think I'm learning this a little bit more. Because when you have little children like this, it's they're not really going to be interested in what's happening in Cambodia right now. But when you've got your children growing up, and suddenly you realize that, hey, this is something you can talk about and share about what's happening in our world. It may be persecution, or it may be just, you know, some of the ways, the atrocities of war and what's causing people to do, and some of the debauchery that goes on in this world. So you're talking about these things. You're talking about the degradation of our society. And so we talk about some of those things, but we put it into a kingdom perspective, and you begin to build vision and understanding into our children and into our families. I'll just give you an example of where I fall short. So we had our 5-year-old with us, and we were at conference. we went to the motel room that night, and we stayed overnight to stay for the next day session. And of course, one of the most prominent things in a motel room is the big flat screen TV, right? And my son goes, "What's that?" My five-year-old said, "Oh, that's a TV." "Oh, okay." It didn't mean anything to him. I didn't make any more further ado about it. My wife said to me a little later, she said, "You know, you missed something there. You could have said, you know, that's a television, and a lot of things that come across that are not godly. And so we're just going to leave that off. We're not going to do anything with it, because we want to do, and we want to think about things of God." I could have said any number of things and used it as a teaching moment, right? But I didn't. He was already off to sleep then. So, there. But think about, I need to think about, those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Building missions. Number three, missions start at home. These are all basic points. They're ones that you would have thought of if you'd have sat down and just thought for a while as well. But they start at home. We're thinking about families building missions. They start at home. We need to make sure we don't have the idea that mission is somehow something that you do in the city 3 hours away, or something that you do on the other side of the world. We know that's not right. We know that's not true. Missions start at home. And I want to bless you all for the way that you are working in and out of your own homes here. So we need to develop depth and commitment and spiritual understanding at home. And some of the best way, and I've had the opportunity now to have interviewed potential teachers and serves, people who are going to serve in the country of Bangladesh, and to sit down with them and to look at their application, talk about their Christian life. But one of the questions we have is, what's your experience? What have you done before? Have you ever taught in a schoolroom before? Have you ever had spiritual conversations with other people? Have you ever had spiritual conversations with Muslims? Those kinds of things, because that's a particular environment. So we have those kind of questions. And I say to us this morning, we do well if we can, in our regular family life, somehow give opportunities, have opportunities for our children to develop some of this commitment that it takes, some of the spiritual understanding that it takes to communicate spiritual truths. And this, I think, it's one of the blessings of, for instance, there at Fourth Avenue, we have our Bible Discovery or Children's Church once a week, every Tuesday evening, and that goes on into youth. And it is those that we bring into their youth, and we've had additional interaction that brings you with the adults, with the parents or custodians of the children, and those kinds of things. It gets us into the activities of our local city there every week. And I'm jealous of that, of keeping that alive for numerous reasons. One is, of course, what we're teaching little ones, what we're teaching youth. But the other part of it is for our own children. It's an opportunity for service. It's just work. But it's a way for them to get out and serve and be involved. Serve our community in some way. And it could be in business. There's businesses that we're involved in, so that allows us to work with coworkers and, you know, work in real life with our society. That's a wonderful thing. That's a necessary thing. Missions start at home. I think about those. I don't know what happens here in this city, but in our neighborhood, every fall, there's a knock on the door, and it's a couple neighbor children from different places, you know, around us locally, but children that we don't get to see that often, right? Knocking on the door, "Would you buy?" You know, and they're selling. They're selling. They're raising funds for their trip or for their school or for some kind of activities. We should be the people who engage them, of course. You know, and they end up, you could tell that some of them, they like coming to us because we would buy a nice little bit of something from them. Those kinds of things. Just ways that we engage. It's the ways that we're involved. Well, I already spoke some about that in one of the other messages. Not being just another front door, but rather a family who's in touch with their community and knows what's going on. And, you know, when you bump into your neighbor, I'll admit there's one neighbor that I see fairly often, and I have trouble remembering his name. It's a terrible thing. He's a close-by neighbor, and he always says, "Hello, Tim," and I always say, "Hello, neighbor, how are you?" It's terrible. I'm going to have to write his name down again. I've tried different tricks to remember his name, and I can't even say it right now. But I like to talk with him. So, you know, it's good economics to make your own coffee. I like coffee. And I like to fill up a mug that I take with me for the first half of my day. And if it's a really tough day, I might need a mug for the second half of my day. But the first half of my day means I go buy a Sheetz and I can fill that mug up for 84 cents at Sheetz. But you know what it does? I look for a couple people that when I go in there. The one is a man that we've done some business with, but he's basically retiring, and that's sort of become his morning coffee spot. "Hello, Sam, how are you?" We've had spiritual conversation. The other one is my neighbor. We happened to get through there about the same time. And the other one is the two Deborahs that work behind the counter. Older ladies, one's named Deb, the other one's named Deborah. And, "Hello, Deborah, how are you this morning?" Just a little conversation. But those, I think we need to look for opportunities to engage our communities on their level. It just, you know, we're not just always that, you know, there he goes, by on the road, down the sidewalk, gotta go, gotta go. Anyway, those are some things for us to think about. Mission starts at home. Find ways to be of assistance and so on. And our children need to hear us praying for our neighbors, praying for their situations, those kinds of things. Those are little things that build. Invite them to church. Sing Christmas carols. I don't know what all you do here, but yeah. We go and we do some different things with that, but I've actually found that to be a meaningful... Don't turn up your nose too quick about the Christmas carol. I found it to be a meaningful way to get on some front porches, knock on some front doors of neighbors, and give them something. And when I say give them something, I don't know what all we give them, but so many times I've seen tears. And I don't know what all those tears mean, but I think it's worth a little something. Let's go on, number four. What is the cumulative attitude of your family? Or simpler question, how do we view others? What I mean by that is, what when your family walks in, when we walk into Walmart or when we are out and about, how do other people view us and how do they think we view them? And how do we view them? The point is, are we sort of that, you know, family who sort of breathes in with our heads up sort of high and we just sort of look unapproachable, you know? Or are we just normal, we're a little bit more relaxed, and we're approachable? Different personalities, I know. But what kind of a spirit... How do we talk about our neighbors in front of our children? Do we talk them down? Or do we have actual interest in who they are as persons and their souls? We're talking about families building missions, and we're recognizing that it starts right at home. It starts in the spirit and attitude of our children and how they view others as they go out our doors. And it will affect how they view others as they go out there of our doors as youth going to serve in some mission. It affects how they view them as they go out as adults into life and are engaged. So our silence and inaction, by our burden or lack of burden, by our outlook upon the needy and sinful around us, do our children lift up self-righteous noses, or do they sense respect for all mankind and a sorrow and burden for those that are in need? It's too bad. It's too bad. They divorced, and look what it's done to their home. Look what it's done to their home. Look at their children. It's so sad. You know, we need to pray for them. Instead of, yeah, I mean, if they just stayed together. I think it's something for us to think about. It's so easy for us to become judgmental. And Jesus was there judging the judgmental there in that synagogue that afternoon. Because they were so willing to judge others without looking at themselves and so on. So we need to be careful with our attitudes. I have about two left here, and we're going to wrap this up. Be a family that develops teamwork and moderates individuality. Be a family that develops teamwork and moderates individuality. Almost all missions revolve around people who are serving together and pulling together for a greater cause. And these are people who need to be able to harness their gifts and shoulder each other's needs, make up for each other's shortcomings and flat spots. It's one of the questions that we dwell on and that we talk about for good reason when we're getting ready to send a team to Bangladesh. Can you work together in team? So what have you done so far in your life as far as working together? Were you able to get along with your coworkers? Were you somebody who was under authority, or did you give orders? How did that work out for you? That's why we call their pastors. That's why we talk to their parents. Those kinds of things. Because it matters so much. Because this mission and this work is greater than any one of us. And there isn't a single one of us here that is so well gifted, so blessed and endued with particular characteristics is going to make us just be able to do mission on our own. Nope. That person gets broke down, run down, and run out almost every time. So it's about us being able to work together, being able to just, shoulder the shortcomings of others and then realize that, guess what, they're picking up for me. Because almost every one of these mission opportunities that we have, it's bigger than ourselves. And we just run out of steam. We run into trouble. We don't have an answer for the question. I've seen it again and again. I just think of some examples of this very thing. People who've done this for years, and in particular, I'm referring back to my point of reference with the Bangladesh team and some of the men, in particular one man who's done it for years. And one of the things he was most committed to was teamwork. I mean, he had a lot of answers because he did it a lot, but he did not proceed that way. We're going to do this. We're going to discuss this together as a team. We're going to make a decision, and we keep finding a better way. And so I think it's so important. And we develop that in our families. We develop that by helping our families learn to work together, to respect others' opinions and views, and to recognize that we need others' help. There's an African proverb that goes like this: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And it's worth repeating. Sometimes I just want to go fast. My final point is this: family life that brings families, life that builds missions, is family life that brings stability in life, commitment to the situation that we're in, the opportunity that we're in, the work that we're in, and commitment in our own theology, doctrine, belief. The changes of culture and worldviews often get shattered, or changes in culture often affect our worldviews significantly. They can do that. I'm going to jump right to a question that I have right now here, and then we'll discuss this a little bit further. One of the questions that we ask of those who are going in mission is this question. It's not so much after we've talked about their abilities and what they've done in their life and so on and so forth. it's all about asking the question whether or not they're prepared to go and if they can pick up the work. But then there's another question that we have to ask. Are you going to be strong enough to cope with returning? Are you going to be strong enough to cope with returning? Can we handle and process the new imperfections that we see in the culture and tradition that has brought us up and blessed us? It's actually a big question. It's actually a pretty big deal. And what it means is that we build missions when, as a family, we have created this kind of conditions in home and these kinds of conditions in our children. And the conditions that I'm talking about is a stability in life, understanding enough about who we are, why we are what we are, and that it's not the only way coupled with that. See, there's tensions around it from all sides, but that brings stability. We're not the only right ones, and there are different cultures that are going to impact this particular belief in a different way, and these worldviews, and so those kinds of things, as they are looked at, understood, they bring some stability. And most of all, we need to have a good grounding of where our faith is. And that's a big discussion, and we're not going to spend time to go any further with that. And then finally, the third point to that is that it's about commitment. It's about stability in that. Because when the going can get really hard, the going can get really hard in New York City. The going can get really hard at Altoona, Fourth Avenue. It can get really hard, you know, there in Sharkali, Bangladesh, when you end up not knowing whether or not that next person that shows up is going to be the police that are going to escort you out, or whatever it is, whatever the difficulty is, in the classroom teaching children English, and it's just an uproar day after day. So why are we here? What is our purpose? What is being accomplished? Guess what? I think that's the question of almost every missionary at some point. And then one day God cracks the door open a little bit and lets you see something. And you go, wow, that is amazing. Praise God for that. But you know what it takes on either side of those moments is commitment to the cause. And so we need to be teaching our children. We need to have those kinds of families that are committed. Hey, we're here for the long haul. We're not jumping in this thing and jumping out. Sure, God changes circumstances, and there's times when we need to move on to some other spot, but you understand what I'm trying to get at. And so, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, we build missions with homes where discipline and order are present, where love is given and received and respect is required. This will give our children a healthy perspective in relating with those outside the home. And I also think, as I've looked at missions, that especially where you are maybe focused with other youth and those kinds of things, one of the blessings that we have is community of church family. That helps a lot. That goes a long way in helping us. If that's the opportunity we have as families, and so again, that's why we build church. I'll just circle back to that. That's why we invest in church, because all those same qualities are needed, and it's such a foundation that we need to build missions. Most of all, our children need to see the love and grace of God in our marriages. Our children need to see the love and grace of God in our marriages, in our family relationships. How can we and our children go forth carrying a light if behind the closed doors of our homes it's snuffed out? How can we? How can we? How can we go forward carrying a light if that light isn't burning at home? And that's, to me, you could just about sum it up there. Healthy, godly homes set the foundation for building the church and missions and so on. Well, Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus speaking, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We go forward into whatever mission or calling may be upon us because we are the children of Almighty God. Just breathe that one in a little bit. We are children of Almighty God. We walk in light and we wish to show others true light. We go forward because the master of the harvest is sending us out. The harvest is before us. God bless you in the great field of labor in this city. Let's kneel for prayer.